Good morning. I've been MIA the last two out of the three weekends with weddings and such, but there's no bright, shining faces I'd rather see on a Sunday morning than yours, so it's good to see you. This week, we come to the conclusion of John 6, which is the long Bread of Life discourse that we've been going over for the last month, and it comes to a moment of decision. A moment of decision like Joshua spoke about in the first reading, where he said, decide today. And the disciples, hearing all of this, they say, Jesus, wow, this is hard. This is shocking, what he's saying. And many of them, as we hear, left and went back to their former ways of life. The reading we missed last week on account of Mary and her assumption, which I suppose is forgivable. But the reading we missed last week, Jesus was speaking very plainly what he was teaching and what it means. He says, the bread that I'll give is my flesh for the life of the world. And as they begin quarreling about this, he doubles down on it. He said, you must eat my flesh. My flesh is true food. Now, many, many, many times throughout Scripture, Jesus speaks to us symbolically and metaphorically. He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. I am the good shepherd, and you are the sheep. You're not literally sheep. But he's speaking metaphorically many, many times, and he goes on to explain what it is that he's speaking of, so that there's not any misunderstanding. And he does the same in John 6 as well. He states that you must eat my body and drink my blood. And then he goes on to explain what that means, that we must have that to have his life within us. He doesn't soften it though either. When they say, Jesus, this teaching is hard. It's hard and it's shocking, and it is, absolutely. But his response to that, in terms of this is shocking on one hand, of how is this even possible? And he says, what if you were to see the Son of Man? What if you were to see him ascending into heaven? That this isn't something that just a simple man is doing. This is something God is doing, and he's trying to get their minds and raise them up beyond just our human way of thinking about these things. Above just the immediate human thoughts that come. That it's God who does all these things through his word. God with his word created everything out of nothing. God through his word raised the dead to life. God's word being spoken through a priest in the waters of baptism recreates that human being entirely so that there's a whole new divine life within them. God's word spoken through a priest, I absolve you. God's word spoken again, this is my body, this is my blood. It's shocking though, not just in terms of how is this possible, Jesus. It's shocking because they recognize a little bit of what sort of intimacy God desires with them. The second reading that the church gives us today is from Ephesians, and it points to the sort of intimacy that God desires. God desires the intimacy with us like that of a marriage, like the intimacy of a husband and a wife. That this is the great mystery of Christ and his church, of Jesus with all of us. In a marriage, many of you know there's different forms of intimacy, right? Everything from holding hands to leaving a little love note. You guys remember those days, right? Or leaving the toilet seat up. All these little signs of intimacy. But When we speak about intimacy within marriage, there's no greater form than when the two become one flesh. When the marriage itself is consummated. Because there's an intimacy and there's a union that's taking place here that's both a physical union and a deeply spiritual one as well. You can see how this is shocking. Because this is the depth of union that God desires with us. A deep spiritual union with our souls and a physical union with us as well. And he wants to raise our minds to be able to see that this is what he desires. Now, can you as a Catholic come and receive communion? Come and receive the Eucharist physically? You're receiving Jesus in the Eucharist, but not receive the spiritual benefits of what God desires for you in that? Absolutely you can. Receiving communion can just be another routine thing. You know, it's what I do on the weekends. Can you even receive the Eucharist so that it does spiritual harm to you if you're not in the state of grace? To receive it in the wrong context? Sure you can. But this is the same thing with all of God's greatest gifts. Have the potential as well for the greatest abuse. Can you engage in the marital act where there's a deep physical union that's happening there, but without the spiritual union? Sure you can. It can become something that's just routine, you know, something I do on the weekends. But the greatest of God's gifts can also be the ones that have the greatest potential for abuse in the wrong context. But what God desires, what he desires for us is something more. What he desires for us, you remember your first communion? Do you remember how dressed up you got? I love it every year. The little kids, last year they sat over there. And the little boys had it, they had little bow ties or ties, and they're all dressed up, and their hair is parted just perfectly. Do you remember when you were a little girl and you wore the white dress? It's like you were dressing up for your wedding day, right? On your first communion. It's because you were. And every time you come down the aisle, even now, to receive Jesus in communion, it's like on your wedding day, when you're walking down the aisle to receive your beloved. This is the something more that God desires for us. This is the shocking union that he wants with us. One in which it's a deep physical union and it's a deep spiritual one as well. Now in a church, in the body of Christ, which is fractured, such as our own, there's something deeply painful in this reality, but there's something really hopeful when we understand communion in this way as well. My mom's whole side of the family is Lutheran. They are super faithful. Do they have a real, deep love for Jesus? Absolutely they do. Do they experience, my whole mom's whole side, all the relatives there, a real intimacy with Jesus? You bet they do. In their prayer, in their reading of Scripture, God's Word, their lives of faith, the hymns they sing in their church, all of these are beautiful forms of deep intimacy and real spiritual union with Jesus. And there's something, especially for us as Catholics, that we always need to be striving for. That spiritual union. Because what can Catholics do? What can we have a tendency to do? We receive in the sacraments, in the Eucharist, this physical union. But we don't always experience the spiritual union there. But they experience a real spiritual union with Jesus. But when we speak about the Catholic Church being the fullness of the Christian faith, what it's speaking about is that there's something more. That what God desires is this deep, real spiritual union, but he desires even something more. He wants a real physical union with us as well. He desires the two to become one flesh in every way, with nothing held back. This is shocking. Is it hard to believe? Absolutely. But to simply pray with the beautiful, faithful words of Peter, when he asks his apostles, "Will you too leave?" And he said, "Master, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." What God desires with you is this beautiful, beautiful intimacy and this union, both a spiritual and a physical, where the two become one flesh.